The Adelaide Crows have released a statement. Tyson Stengel will be unavailable for AFL selection for 4 matches as part of a club-imposed sanction for a drink driving offence. Stengel also been fined $2,500 with the money to be donated to charity and will undertake a road safety education program. He was stopped by police for driving an unregistered vehicle in Adelaide's southwestern suburbs in the early hours of April 9. Andrew Fagan, Adelaide Crows CEO, has been good enough to join me. Welcome to the program. Thanks again for your time, Andrew, even though it's in circumstances you'd rather not have. Welcome to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dwayne. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. But you did get on the front foot fairly early, although it did take a while for Tyson to inform you and for you to inform the public. Firstly, how did you arrive at 4?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I think we're often asked this when clubs have to impose sanctions, and I guess there are usually some levels of precedent, you know, there that we take into account. And look, we've probably strengthened the sanction on this occasion because, you know, Tyson was slow in revealing information to us, and that's, you know, contrary to the standards that we set as a footy club, and it's, you know, this the sanction of 4 weeks recognises that. But look, he knows that it was a significant mistake that he's made. He's extremely remorseful. I actually just got off the phone with him a little bit earlier this afternoon. You know, he regrets his actions, and I know he's going to work hard to get the trust of his teammates back and get back onto the field and playing as soon as he possibly can.
Did he throw up a reason why, and why he was even driving an unregistered car as well?
Well, yeah, there's often a backstory, but I think it was a genuine oversight. I think he changed management groups, and he thought that someone else had taken care of that for him, and he just wasn't paying close enough attention to his paperwork, and that was the reason for the unregistered vehicle. And look, as for the drinking, I don't think there's often a great excuse or reason for that. It was a, you know, genuine. It was a genuine mistake, an error in judgment, and said he's owned that. Took him a while to come forward, which was disappointing, and he again recognises that that's not the way in which, you know, he's supposed to operate. And you know, footy clubs, Dwayne, where we sometimes end up having to impose sanctions, but our first thought is always to care and to make sure the player's doing okay. And that was actually the nature of my call to Tyson this afternoon, was actually just to make sure that he was doing okay, because it can be tough being in the spotlight at the best of times, and particularly when you're a young player and just sort of at the beginning of your AFL career and you make a mistake like this. And we're conscious of making sure that he's doing okay, he's got the appropriate support around him, but equally there are consequences for mistakes and errors in judgment, and he's copped this one squarely.
And also, no footy clubs find it difficult sometimes to keep things in-house. Congratulations to you for not allowing this story to leak, so those who knew didn't tell anybody. But there has been a little bit of criticism that you waited quite a few days to tell the members. Any reason why? Were you still investigating? What was your reasoning behind that?
Yeah, there has been some debate around that, and I must admit, I know people sort of often throw that under the banner of transparency, and I think we've been very transparent about it. I think the timing was the issue, and we did take a few days, And look, Dwayne, if this was the middle of the season and we were playing, you know, every week, then, you know, we'd probably have a reason to rush this out as quickly as we possibly could. But it would also mean that we were having face-to-face contact with all the necessary people in a, you know, far easier manner to deal with. And on this occasion, it wasn't the case. It took us a few days to be notified. And then we wanted to sit with Tyson to make sure he was okay. We then wanted to investigate the incident properly and, you know, try and get the appropriate information from the authorities. And it took us a little bit of time, and then without really any rush, again, this was an incident that didn't involve anyone else. It was just himself. And then we had a scheduled meeting with the playing group on Friday morning, and, you know, we thought it was important for Tyson to be able to front up to the playing group and explain what he'd done, and I guess it was the first step in him regaining the trust of his teammates. So, now, we didn't seek to change the timing of that meeting. We let him have that, and then the intention always was to release it later on Friday, which we did. So, look, I think the fact we took, you know, whatever it was, you know, 4 or 5 days after him notifying us, I don't think is a significant issue at all. And then I think we've been very open in what's occurred, and now we've, you know, quickly come to a sanction as well. So, I don't know, there's always debate in this industry, and you cop it from both sides, but I think from the perspective of our members and our fans, I think within a week of this occurring, they've been both notified and they understand the sanction that the club's put in place for Tyson.
Talking to Andrew Fagan, Adelaide Crows CEO. Andrew, you're confident, optimistic about getting footy back in late June or July?
Yeah, I am. Certainly the tone's changed a little bit, hasn't it, just in recent days. And look, I'm really pleased, actually, here in South Australia. As I said, I think we've kept numbers to a minimum here, and credit to the government and the health authorities and to the community more broadly, have been, I think, really diligent and adhering to the social distancing measures and the like for the most part. And it's kept us, you know, pretty safe here relative to some other certainly parts in the country or around the world. So I'm hoping that, you know, in the not too distant future, you know, we'll have footy. And I don't know a lot more than you do at this stage, that, you know, I understand Gill's made the commitment, I think, at this stage to, you know, have a decision by the end of the month as to when that return to play date might be. Again, I think that the general view is that it might be looking like, you know, something like the end of June or early July. And it's about getting 144 games away. And I think I'm hopeful that there's enough time to do that, have a meaningful season, and because there are a lot of things that obviously spin off the back of that as well later on in the year in terms of drafts and everything else, and then giving the players an appropriate amount of off-season to then prepare for next season so it's not impacted at all. So, look, it's really, really important to us, and I'm certainly more optimistic than I was perhaps, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And is your optimism encouraged by talks you have with SA government, because you're in touch with them quite regularly?
Yeah, they've been great, actually, and I've had a couple of hookups with the Premier, and the same with the Sports Minister, you know, Corey Wingard. And look, they've both been, you know, really engaged with the, I guess, in the sporting industry here, and particularly those large sports that are impacted at the moment. They're very open about, you know, playing a role in getting this, you know, the AFL back up as quickly as possible. And if that means that we've got to, you know, host as a hub or something, if that's the structure that's put in place by the AFL, then they're, I think, going to be really accommodating with that. Obviously, the health and safety of the community will be the first, second and third priority. But, you know, if they're comfortable that they can, you know, that they can meet all of those safeguards, then you know, they absolutely want to put their hand up. And from our perspective, you know, it'd be great to sort of have, you know, footy played here and in this city. And, you know, it's a footy mad state. And
yeah,
it's been a unique year to date, and obviously season to date, and given the impact that we've all felt. But to have to play our role, either to see, you know, the Power and the Crows play, or maybe some other teams play here as well as a hub, it'd be a massive, I think, just boost to us all with a bit of return to normality. But it's got to come second. I said, you know, we keep on saying it, because it's true. We've got to, you know, make sure that any of those decisions are a second to the health of the and safety of the broader community. And once that's, you know, in place, then obviously we'd be, you know, really eager to get away.
So would the government have to release the border restrictions a little, loosen them to the point that clubs could travel in and out easily?
Well, I think that's what the AFL are trying to work through at the moment. So whether, you know, that's where the notion of the hubs came from, whether you base some teams in a location for a period of time, or in fact, whether it's a hybrid model, whether it might start off in hubs and then return to some normality, you know, later on, or whether we just start with normality. But all of those things need to take into account some of those logistical issues. And obviously the major one at the moment is that a normal home and away season will require travel in and out of states. And, you know, that obviously can't happen today. And we're all guessing a little bit about what it might look like in a month or 2 months or 3 months from now. So I know that there's a team dedicated to working on this at the AFL, and look forward to a sort of a further update from those guys. You know, we've got a hookup later on this afternoon, and we'll see if they're any further progress with their thinking. But, you know, again, I think they're looking at 3 or 4 or 5 different models that can cater for what might be a changing environment between now and a start date.
Yeah, great news. Adelaide Oval in October or November, is it available for you to use?
Well, I hope so. I've certainly had a conversation with Keith Bradshaw, who's in charge of the South Australian Cricket Association, and, you know, he was really clear in saying if there's a role that they could play in accommodating, you know, football, that they were going to be flexible. And again, I think what we've seen during, you know, a crisis like this, not just in sport, but, you know, across various sort of industries, is a collegiality that's pretty special. And you know, footy and cricket are often, over the years and history in this state, have been very competitive with each other. But he was very early on, he was very open in saying, look, if there's a role that we can play in helping fast-track footy's return or accommodating footy's return and at a time that's traditionally dedicated to cricket, then you know, we're open to having that conversation. So, look, I think where there's a will, there's a way, and we just need a few more of these, you know, assumptions and variables to actually, you know, become reality. And I said we're not in control of a bunch of those. It's the respective state and federal governments are, and the chief medical officers and the other health authorities that inform them. So we need some of those to land first, and then we'll have some models that can overlay under that to said hopefully get the remaining 144 games away.
So in a best case scenario, you could host the grand final there, a Crows grand final at the Adelaide Oval, Andrew, in November.
Finally, how good would that be? So it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? I'm sure that as they always do, the city would love to accommodate footy on the grandest of stages, and obviously had a AFLW grand final here a couple of years ago. And but look, yeah, who knows at the moment? I think the AFL keeps saying that there are no options off the table, and so I like to think that holds true. And but yeah, we've just got to keep. I think being agile, I think, has been the word of the time, and somewhat creative, and to look at ways through this. And it's obviously a hugely complex and challenging and confronting period. And he said everyone's leaning in though, and I think trying to find a way so that when we're provided with a window, then we can take advantage of it to the best possible extent.
Great to hear the positivity in your voice, Andrew. It's exciting to me. And good luck with that hookup with the AFL head office today. Andrew Fagan, Adelaide Crows CEO, painting a pretty good picture. Take a break. You're with Dwayne's World.